Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Rachel Mash Perez. Rachel is the Community Engagement Director at Manna House, and Manna House is a peer-run organization dedicated to providing personalized resources, community, and advocacy for homeless and formerly homeless veterans. With a mission of collective strength and support, Manna House strives to end veteran homelessness by offering essential assistance and fostering a sense of belonging within the veteran community. And so we're going to talk about Manna House in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome you to the show, Rachel. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me here. As well, I really appreciate what you do for the veteran community, and I feel honored just to be a part of that. So thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So I guess to start, can you tell us a little bit about, let's talk about the veteran homelessness issue to begin with. Let's talk about maybe some of the factors that contribute to veterans becoming homeless. I know it's probably every case is different. It depends kind of answer, but are there some maybe common factors that you've noticed?
Yes, definitely. And so many of the veterans that we serve at Manna House are those who have been living on the streets, homeless shelters, who have even been displaced by family or assisted living, and even the chronically homeless. We have really served all of the kind of places where veterans kind of bleed and live while they are on the streets. And so some of those factors that contribute the veterans to becoming homeless are issues such as alcohol and substance abuse, or even mental health issues. Many of them even have a combination, and so that just makes it even harder for them to get off the streets and back into civilian life. And so also I wanted to add that due to the housing rate and the market, just how it's all increased, it's really made it difficult for our veterans to find and obtain affordable housing. And we are one of the only shelters in Phoenix that accepts veterans with a criminal background, or maybe even has a felony charge. We are a shelter. We don't, judge or stigmatize that. And due to that, too, limits their access to finding affordable housing. And so these are just some of the factors that I've witnessed, but also have also learned by being here with what our veterans deal with.
Yeah, I saw a thing just earlier, I think it was today or yesterday, where in the Phoenix area, so this is kind of primarily the area that you guys serve, is in the Phoenix, Arizona area. For someone to be able to afford a home in the Phoenix area, they need to be making somewhere in the six-figure range, like low six figures, to be able to just afford even just a starter home, nothing fancy.
Definitely, even me and my husband, we have struggled in finding affordable housing within our own income, and income too is also another factor that our veterans also deal with, because many of them either rely on their benefits from the VA or Social Security, and they either have to, every month they have to decide, well, do I pay for my medications or my other bills or food? And so, so many of them decide, well, I better take care of myself, or if not, and their physical limitations and even their health issues cause them to, make that a priority, and then their rent has either increased or even their like landlord is not working with them. And they, you know, instead of dealing with them and helping them, they just give them an eviction notice and say, you're on your own. And it's it's like a tumultuous process for our veterans. And it's just a reoccurring thing that so many of them just can't afford it because of the increasing rates and just the market itself.
Right. And you're talking about someone who maybe is living off of like disability benefits. And,
definitely. You know,
even if someone is 100% disabled through the VA, that's not a ton of money that they're
getting. Like, I believe from the VA, when a veteran is between like 80 and 100% disability, their check is about $25,000 to $3,000 per month. Yeah. And now rent, like a studio apartment for the Phoenix area has now gone up to almost $1,200. That's like double what they get for their income each month. And then adding on their other expenses, it's just not, it's not reasonable. It's not even attainable for our veterans. And so it's like, and so they are constantly having to push back. And luckily with our program, they can stay with us for as long as it really needs to, depending on their circumstances. Because we aren't a organization that says, oh, so many days are up, we're going to kick you out. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that when they leave here, that they can be able to be on their own and be self-sufficient.
Yeah. And that's a good way to look at it too, because if you just give someone 30 days, you can stay here for whatever the time period is. Chances are that's not going to be sufficient
It's not long, because many of our veterans, when they come into our program, they are literally working from the bottom up. They have to, some of them have to find and get all of their documents in place because they were on the streets for so long that they lost all of their important documents. And so they have to go to DES, Social Security, the VA, just to gather all of their information just so that they can start over and find that job or increase their benefits. And then finally apply for that apartment or any type of, like, even if our program doesn't work for our veterans, we help them find a better program or even a recovery place or a halfway house so that, again, they get the support that they need and they're not going back onto the streets.
Right. Yeah, I think that's important, because once when they go back onto the streets, if I'm putting myself in their shoes right now, and I've never been in their place, but this is just me kind of imagining what they may be going through. If I'm in a place, they say they're going to help me, they're going to, you know, work with me so that I can get my own place and become, you know, a little bit more stable. And then all of a sudden, oops, some time clock is up and now I'm back out on the streets. I don't know that I'm really going to want to trust other people who are saying, oh yeah, I'll help you, right?
And a lot of the veterans do not even trust the VA system, let alone even how programs work, because they always have that either 30, 60, or 90-day kind of timeline. And if they don't do everything in that timeline, they're kicked out. And some programs are like that. But I'm really thankful that we aren't. We take in all of the barriers and the issues that our veterans need. And if they need that extra time or that extra support, we're there. Yeah. We try to help accommodate that as the best as we can.
Sure. We talked about some of the factors that contribute to the homelessness in the veteran population, like, you know, the substance abuse and mental health, sometimes both. Issues. Are there any specific demographics or groups of people within the veteran community that you see are more highly represented in this group of homeless population? You know, is it, you know, for example, like younger veterans versus older, or men versus women, you know, things like that. Is there any specifics that go into that?
So since Mana House is a male facility mm-hmm. for veterans, and Phoenix actually has a higher rate of male veterans than female veterans. And so male veterans need a lot more help and resources. And so we have, on average, each veteran here is roughly in their 50s and up.
Okay.
We do have some that are younger than that, but most of the veterans that we serve are 55 or years older. And so mm-hmm. they come with physical limitations or already health issues. And so we try our best to make sure that while they're here, they're working on, you know, bettering themselves, but also finding the goal is for them to be sustainable and have their apartment.
Sure, sure. That's a good point that you brought up, that, you know, Mana House is specifically geared towards the male veterans. And I guess that does make sense how you guys are set up and everything. So, you know, it actually was surprising when you said the age, that the average age of the folks who are in your facility, I would have suspected that it would have been a younger age group that would have been more highly represented, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people think that, but yeah. A lot of our veterans who come into our program, many of them are, as what I said previously, are either coming straight off the streets out of an assistance living area, mm-hmm. or even sometimes jail or prison. And sure. So many of them are kind of getting reacquainted back into civilian life, and mm-hmm. we really help transition them into and be prepared for what it means to be, you know, a civilian. So
yeah, sure. Yeah, that does make sense. I think it was just my, you know, gut initial reaction is like, what would I think? I would probably guess the younger ones probably who needed maybe a little more time to get back into civilian life, but someone who maybe has been in prison for 10, 15 years or something like that, obviously they're going to be a little bit older. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, that does make sense that that's the population that you guys are serving. And it's not limited to that. Like you said, there are some younger people.
We do have cases.
Right? Yeah.
Our younger veterans, they are mostly in their late 20s to mid 30s. Many of their contributing factors for them becoming homeless, much deals with relationship issues, as well as substance and mental abuse.
Yeah.
And so many of them are kind of forced from their families, like, you gotta, you know, work on yourself, or they are just kind of done with dealing with what they had and what they experienced in the military, that their families are just not there to support them. And so they revert to the homeless and sure. being on the streets.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I think of my own experience as I came back from Afghanistan, and like a lot of other people, you know, dealing with mental health issues and things like that. I was super fortunate to have my wife who was there and kind of supported me and helped kind of push me in the right direction to, you know, get the help that I needed and all that. But unfortunately, like you're saying, that's not always the case with people, right?
And so many of our younger veterans that are residing here, they first have to work on bettering themselves as an individual. So tackling whatever issues that they are facing in order to regain independence and having their children back, or having that relationship back with their family or wife. And being here, many of them work on that. And at the end, some of them move back into with their families, or many of them, like we have a resident that this was a few years ago, he was working on his community service and showing how, like, he is making the steps to being a parent that could take care of his children. And he went through all of the things through DES and child services, and he was able to get a two-bedroom apartment, and his job was able to help afford and make sure that he can get his children back. And so when he moved into his new apartment, he got to take his two children with him. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really great story. And I love to share that one. So,
yeah, that is good. And I'm glad that you guys were able to help facilitate that, right? To get him back on his feet, to help him get to that place where he's now stable enough that he can have his children with him. That's an awesome success story. You think about it that way, right? You obviously want families to get back together if something causes them to come apart. Mm-hmm. You obviously don't want them to be apart at all if possible, but you know, things happen and life happens, and it's not always, you know, the picture perfect moments in life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do have that difficult stuff to deal with, right?
And it's really great that we have this shelter here for our veterans to deal with that kind of interim or in between, so they don't have to worry about, you know, how they will get food or having the roof over their heads, and mm-hmm. just making sure that, you know, having clothing and being able to access a shower and computers, just the minimal stuff that everyone should have access to, they have it here, and that's how they get back on their feet and become that independent person that they've always wanted to be.
Now, you said that there's no time limit as far as how long they can stay at the manor house, but what's the average do you think?
So the average length of stay for a veteran here is between 79 and 120 days.
Okay.
It used to be each veteran who does come into our program, us being funded through the VA, we do have to kind of follow some type of program. Mm-hmm. And so each veteran who comes into our facility, we start them on 90 days being here. But most of the time, they need longer just to be able to obtain all of their goals. And sure. We have case managers here, and they help develop a game plan or action plan that the veterans are trying to aim for and accomplish while they're living here. And so many of them need longer than those 90 days. So it's becoming a lot more closely to 4 to almost 6 months that they are living here.
Sure, sure. And the nice thing about it is they have that flexibility, that ability to be able to stay there and use that time. And This is not a thing, you know, for the listeners. This is not like a permanent solution that they're coming there and this is now home. You know, this is kind of more like a life raft that you're giving out to them to keep their head above the water. Eventually they need to get back to land.
I never thought of it
right?
that way. Well, our motto here with Catholic Charities is we walk alongside all of our of anyone vulnerable who needs our help. And we aren't that, as what I've stated previously, we aren't had your stay and we're going to kick you out. If they're not ready for that next step, we want to make sure that they are. And so we will work and continue to work with them so that they can, again, be able to take that next step and not feel like, okay, I can take this, I can tackle it. And they have that courage and just the resources to do that.
Yeah. And I think just going back to that lifeboat example, I think maybe any of the shelters that help the homeless people are probably can fall into that category of being a lifeboat for people. But the way you guys do it, it's a lifeboat and you stick with them until they get back to the shore. Just using it as an analogy.
Oh, right? I like that. Yeah.
Whereas some of the others, though, where they have these 30, 60, 90 day limits that you can only stay there for that long, it's like maybe bringing them three quarters of the way back to the shore, and then they got to figure out the rest of the way on their own, swim back on their own. But if they're getting to that point and now they're having to swim back on their own, they may get pushed further back out at some point. And
definitely
things happen. Help, right? Yeah,
it doesn't, because we've had many veterans that have gone to other programs, and they really and they've asked me and told me, what's so great about this program is I don't feel like I need to be there's not that time bomb coming, or and also just the fact that you are here, we don't treat them as a number, as what other agencies may do. We treat them as that human and that person.
So in addition to the housing, you mentioned helping out other veterans, or helping out the veterans with other services. What are some of the things that these veterans are in need of as far as the kind of addressing that root cause of the homelessness amongst these people?
Yeah. And so, besides helping them with, finding that, like creating that game plan for our veterans, we work with a lot of different organizations that support our veterans through providing VA benefits. So we always have a VA person here on site. We also have resume and career building. And so they help our veterans, create that resume to be able to apply for that entry-level job. We even have nurses that come and help our veterans, maintain their medications. And with me being the community engagement coordinator, I help really bring in those resources that the veterans have requested. And so if they need help, scheduling for getting dental or eye appointments, we have groups that help with that. And so my position here is really cool, because I get to really create that need and find that solution for the veterans. And then, and then we continue with that.
Yeah. And I think that's really great that you have the option and the availability for all these different resources for folks. And even if you don't specifically have that resource right in house or anything like that, they can go through someone like you who can go in kind of researching, bring those people in to help them with those types of things. So like you said, dental or vision type stuff.
Go ahead. I've even helped veterans find a laptop for their job. So I've even created a laptop program here for our veterans who are working and they need it for their type of job. Also with bicycles, we provide bicycles for working veterans, because transportation is also a limitation for our veterans here. And so we also do bus passes. We really want to not have any barriers become barriers for our veterans. So we always try to find that solution.
Yeah. And, I think about the people who are in the military transitioning out into civilian life and the differences between military and civilian life, right? In the military, pretty much most of your needs are being taken care of by the military. You have housing that taking care of, food, all these things. You have a steady paycheck coming in. All these things are being taken care of. But once when you get out, it's like there's nothing being provided. Mm-hmm. You got to provide for all of that.
Yep.
And so
you got to learn it on your own.
Exactly. And the way I see kind of what you guys are doing is you are providing this stuff for the veterans while also helping them figure out how to provide it for themselves so that they're
definitely
they're not reliant on that and learning to be reliant. It's like, okay, you break your leg, you're going to need to, you know, get a cast and walk on crutches for a while, but you're not learning to walk on crutches so that you can do it for the rest of your life. You're just using that so that you can get back to where you're, where you need to be. So you can walk and run and do all the other things. Right. And so that's kind of the way I see this is it's that, that thing that they need in order to get to that next step so that they can be self-reliant, so that they can take care of their finances, their mental health, their, you know, whatever they may be dealing with. If you're drowning in all this other stuff, it's going to be really hard to figure out how to do that. And so this seems to me like a great solution to helping these people get their lives back together and get off the streets, you know?
I really love, again, our format and how we help the veterans. We really want to learn how they can help themselves. And since we really promote a military lifestyle here, and so when the veterans are here, they really remember how they kind of become family to each other, and they really learn how, you know, many of them have to regain or reteach themselves how to take care of themselves, and being reminded also by the veterans too is it also helps them see how they can become bigger and stronger. And we are a really great support mechanism here, and so we really like to build them up. And we are just, again, a really big family here. And so even if the staff, if we can't find the solution or if we don't have the answers, we'll try to find someone who can, or we will put in that connection. So again, that veteran, instead of, you know, just giving them the information, but actually learn how to utilize it, you know, taking that next step.
It's the teaching them how to fish as opposed to giving them the fish kind of mindset, yeah. Right?
Definitely.
If you just give them the answer, give them the fish in this example, you're teaching them how to do it themselves so that they can do it the next time. Then they become reliant, right?
And so that then they can depend on themselves and not necessarily others or, you know, and with that, they really gained that confidence of, I can do this. I want to be successful. And so many of them who are now kind of at the end stage of being here, they're ready for that next step. And they have all the necessary things that they have lined up or what they need to do. They've accomplished that. And they're just ready to begin that next step of having and being on their own.
Yeah, and I don't think, and I don't know for sure, I'd have no data on this, but just my gut feel, I don't think anyone really wants to be reliant on somebody else. I think there's some satisfaction that comes from being able to be self-reliant and doing things for yourself. I could be wrong on that, but the way I see it, like I would love to see all of these people just, you know, not just getting by in life, but thriving in life.
And yes, and I love that.
Dancing in their careers and moving up and all that kind of stuff. If this is what they need, that stepping stone, just to get them that little head start, that little nudge. And I'm not saying what you guys are doing is little by any stretch of the imagination, but just giving them that nudge to get them, you know, on the right start. I mean, this seems like a great solution.
Thank you. And I really love that. And like, for example, we had a veteran here who he's graduating this week, but he's been at our program for almost 2 years just due to his barriers and his and then just his criminal background, and he's finally found an apartment, and he's so ready for the next step. He now knows how to manage his finances. He's able to he is all prepared for the next steps, and he's no longer relying on us. He's like, nope, I got that covered, thank you. Or sure. I got that covered. I have this other resource. And just seeing how they now have the ability to do it themselves, it's like, okay, we just pretty much give them a hug and send them on their way. And it's just, we really love how, and with my position here, so many of them come into our program being lost, not knowing what to do. And many of them are very even... they are very reluctant to even want to get that next help or get the or just to try to get back on their feet. And so having them in this type of environment really helps push them into wanting to maybe, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And
sure,
we have the support for that.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing. Seeing that example of that person who is moving out, and it's like, okay, I was that guy, or I am that mm-hmm. guy, and they were in my shoes, but they are moving out, and they are self-reliant now, and they're able to do this stuff. Maybe there's hope for me too, and that's a good way to kind of spread the hope amongst the folks who are there. So that they know that it's not like they're a lost cause or anything, right?
No, there is so many of them think that, like, oh, yeah. I can never change, or I can never, but like while they're here, so many of them have a transformation. It's, yeah. they are so surprised that, wow, I was this grumpy, I didn't want help. And then now they are like the helpful ones. They're like, oh, you need a ride to the SSI? Oh, I can help you. Or just mm-hmm. being that helpful person, they really learn how to, again, we help each other throughout this process, and the veterans yeah. even help each other.
Yeah. And that's one thing I've learned through, well, being a veteran myself, but also through this podcast, is that veterans want other veterans to succeed. They're out there helping each other. And it's like, for the folks who maybe don't have any purpose, it's like, if you see another veteran struggling, it's like, I don't want that guy to struggle. I don't want that person to be, in a bad place. So I'm going to do what I can to help them. And now that's their mm-hmm. purpose, is to get out Definitely. There and help people. And then that kind of sparks a little more motivation to do other things. It's like, well, I can't help this person if I can't take care of myself. So, okay, well, I got to get my stuff in order too before I can do that. And then they just start helping each other. And that's, that's a pretty cool thing too. Now, you mentioned earlier, Catholic Charities is the organization that is kind of the parent organization, if you will, for Manor House. Are there any religious requirements or anything like that that is tied into this?
Not at all.
Or how does that work?
Catholic Charities, they asked to have us as one of their programs because they have only focused on helping veterans in the northern part of Arizona. Okay. So in 2015, they asked Manor House, but prior to being called Manor, we were actually called the Madison Street Veteran Association. We started in 2008 as its own agency, and mm-hmm. it was founded by 14 male veterans themselves. And they literally put this, they realize veterans need a step up, so we're going to give them that step up. And we have, and so our motto here too is veterans helping veterans. Yeah. And so in 2015, we were having struggles with finding a bigger location because we had a house that was able to accommodate 54 veterans. Our location now, we can have up to 76. And we right now we're at 72. And so we are always we're always in fluctuation, but one of our also things is you don't need to be Catholic to receive our services. You don't even need to be affiliated with any type of religion, because we don't discriminate with that. And we just go and follow the Catholic teachings. We really do the Good Samaritan. That's kind of our motto with what Catholic Charities is. We help, again, take that step and the Good Samaritan and walk alongside them in regaining their independence and stability.
And I think that's a good approach to take too, because some, just like you were saying before, some people are not really fond of the VA, just to put it lightly, maybe. They may not, you know, have any place right now for religion, but they still mm-hmm. are in need of some sort of assistance. But as time goes on, they may want to come to appreciate it and you know, kind of learn more about it through that. Not to say that it's a recruiting tool or anything like that. That's not the purpose. It's not that at all. It's just that that may be a nice side effect of the benefits that they're receiving as well, you know. So that's I think an important piece is that, you know, yes, sure, it's tied to a religious organization, but it's not there's no requirements for any religious affiliation or anything like that. Now, are there religious services that are offered if they choose to take advantage of those through Manor House?
We at Manor House and at our facility, we have a rec room, laundry facility, and an all-faith chapel where we host recovery groups, and we have Bible studies there, and we even have we want to include all denominations. So I try to work mm-hmm. with our community partners, and they provide Catholic services. We've done Baptist, Methodist, pretty much anything in which our veterans would like to participate in, and I try to make that happen.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, not only can they get their physical, you know, their finances and their, you know, other things like that, they can also get their spiritual, benefits coming through that as well. So that's great. That's great. So, I know you said Manor House is in the Phoenix area, and Catholic Charities kind of had some stuff going on up in northern Arizona. Where are the facilities located, and where can people go to find out more information about getting help if they need it, or if they know somebody who might be on the streets and might be in need of this type of help as well?
Perfect. And so our address here at Manor House is 2422 West Holly. We are right off of the I-17 between McDowell Road and Thomas Road. And we are operational 24/7, so we always have staff on site. If any veteran is wanting any assistance, they can call our direct number, which I can give is 602. Sure. 254-6785.
Okay.
We also have a resource center for any homeless veterans, and it's called the Community Resource and Referral Center. And in order for our veterans to get into our program, they need to contact them first to get a referral. And so, they are open Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 4, and they can help veterans find access to shelters, health. They call themselves the one-stop shop for the homeless community. And so we are one of those shelters that the veterans can come into. And they're located right down the street from us on Thomas Road. Their address is 1500 East Thomas Road, Suite 106.
Excellent. And I will put this information in the show notes as well. The address to Manor House, the phone numbers and all this other information that you just gave. I'll put that in the show notes so that the listeners, whether they're experiencing, you know, homelessness themselves and they happen to find this information, or you know, a lot of times they're might be a loved one, a family member, or someone who is aware that they have someone out on the streets and they are in need of help. And maybe they just didn't know where to turn. They came across this episode and they have the resources there. Definitely reach out, call the phone number, go in person and visit, and find out, is this the right place? But to me, it seems like, in most cases, it's going to be the right place. So definitely check that out. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we end this episode, I want to give you the chance to, do you have any other, kind of last words or anything that you might want to share with the audience? Whether it's, families who are dealing with a loved one who might be out on the street, or someone who is experiencing homelessness themselves, any last minute kind of tips or advice or anything like that you might be able to share with the audience?
Okay. This is a really great question. And honestly, we get so many calls daily requesting help. And even if we aren't the right resource or person to help that individual or veteran, we find them that resource. And so I always just really be a listener and be there for our veterans, because so many of them feel still that they aren't being heard and that their needs aren't being met while they are receiving services at even from the VA, even from us sometimes. I always want to think of what's best for our veterans. So even have created for veterans leaving our program, they receive a welcome home kit that kind of helps them, again, give them that leg up so that when they enter into their apartment, they aren't worried about, so now that I have all this, I'm having steady income, I have these bills, I have all of this. We want to, again, make sure that they don't feel overwhelmed starting on this new step in life. And so we give them this kit that includes kitchen appliances, pots and pans, cleaning supplies, anything that you really need for your first apartment. We try to provide that so it can help supplement their costs and be able to afford and maintain and stay there. Because many of our veterans, when they have left our program and they move into an apartment, most of it's not furnished or it's not. Right. And so they're like, okay, I'm in this great place, but I got nothing to do with it. So then they go back to the soup, or they go back to their other shelters, or they invite their buddies, oh, come see my new place. And all these other factors could lead them back onto the streets. And we don't want that. Our goal here is to end homelessness. And we really want to support our veterans and make them self-sufficient. That's our goal.
Excellent. And so definitely, like you said, even if this isn't 100% the right resource for somebody, you guys will help find what that right resource is and get people, pointed in the right direction at least. And for the people who are leaving the house and graduating, like you said, they get what they need to have that stable base to work from and get their feet on solid ground and help start their lives in a great way. So that's awesome. Definitely. That you guys have that. I know none of this can be none of this is going to be cheap, and it can't be done without financial resources. So obviously there's a need for donations, probably maybe even some volunteers and things like that. Where can people go to make a donation or help support the organization?
Perfect. So they can actually, so I actually manage all of our donations and volunteers. And so if you wanted to share my phone number and email,
sure,
they can reach out to me and they can ask, you know, well, what can I give for a veteran? Because often people think, oh, veterans need suits. They need clothing. But really, they need more practical things like water bottles, laundry baskets, things that they can use while they're here, but still use when they leave. And sure. And then also they can donate by going to our website at www.manahouseaz.org. We have a donation link in which you can donate either monthly or one time, and just anything helps. And you can even dedicate the donation to one of our veterans or even to our program so that we can receive that. And anything that we do use, we pay and get things for the veterans.
Excellent. So I will put that in the show notes with the rest of the information. So anyone who wants to donate, we'll put that out there for you. Before we wrap up, I always like to end episodes with a little bit of humor, put a smile on people's faces. You know, even if that smile is because they're laughing at me, because the joke that I tell is so corny and it's not that funny, but they're just laughing at me. That's fine. I don't really care. You can laugh at me. It's all good. You know, sometimes the episodes, the topics are a little bit heavy for some folks, and
if
you can put a smile on someone's face, then that's a great thing. So if you can just indulge me in this joke and perhaps fake a laugh at the end if it's not that funny, I'll tell the joke here. So a young boy enters into a barber shop, and the barber whispers to his customer, "This kid is the dumbest kid in the world. Watch, I'll prove it to you." So the barber puts a dollar bill in one hand and two quarters in the other, and then calls the boy over and asks, "Which one do you want, son?" And the boy takes the quarters and leaves. And so the barber goes, "What did I tell you? The kid never learns." And so later the customer leaves and sees the same young boy coming out of the ice cream shop. And he says, "Hey, kid, can I ask you a question? Why did you take the quarters instead of the dollar bill?" And the boy licked his ice cream cone and said, "Because the day I take the dollar bill, the game's over."
Oh, okay. I like that. He's smarter than the barbershop.
Seems like he's smarter than the barber. Yeah. So thank you again for not only taking the time to come on the show, but for all the work that you guys are doing with the Mana House and helping to, reduce that homeless veteran population in our area. And, hopefully this will inspire other people because, people listen to this all over the country, and hopefully this will inspire people to maybe do the same in their area. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Scott, for having me. And again, I just really love being a part of people who support the veteran community. So thank you.
You bet. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.